We are going to read a couple of verses from Luke 23, and we are going to start with verse number 44. It's Luke 23, verse number 44. We'll read three verses right now, and we'll read a few other things as well. These will be the last words of Jesus. Jesus was on the cross. This is the last words of Jesus before he died on the cross, actually. And we know that Jesus said seven different phrases while he was hanging on the cross. Each one of them has significance. And we will read the last one. And the last one has significance, just like the other six have significance. And each one has a particularly different meaning, but all of them are memorable. Now, this is a life Jesus lived for 33 years, and this is the very last thing that he said while he was still alive. So there has to be something significant about this statement, and this is what we are going to read. Luke 23, and we're going to start with verse number 44. It says this, "Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." For those of you who have been here for the last couple of months, we have been talking, when I preach, we've been talking about the relationship of our body, our soul, and our spirit. We are three-part beings according to the Bible. We have a body, this is the outer shell. We have a soul. The soul is comprised of our mind. It allows us to think. It allows us to reason. It allows us to figure things out. We learn through that mind of ours as well. And it also houses our emotions. So some people are more loving, and some people are more creative, and maybe others are more analytical. This is all part of the soul. And then all of that, the mind and the will is there as well, and the will actually allows us to decide things. Once we figure something out, then our will actually helps us to decide something. We are given free will. You've heard that phrase probably many times. Free will means that we're able to make decisions on our own. There is no one forcing us to make decisions. There's not a cosmic happening that's going on that forces you to do the things you do. You do the things you do because you decide to. You decide in your mind, and then you often act it out in your body. I decide to eat a hamburger because my desire is to eat a cheeseburger, and then you go and order one at McDonald's, and then you eat that. This is the way it works. We decide in that mind, and often our soul is comprised of, we often say it's our entire personality. It gets involved because it's everything that makes up who we are. And then there's the spirit part. The spirit part also has various functions as well. And one of them is the spirit knows things. Have you ever been in that place where you just know that something is about to happen? Have you ever been in that place where you have this feeling deep inside and you just know? There's this knowing inside of you which says, "I know that something is wrong." That's that spirit part of you, that knowing. It's not necessarily just the thought. It's that thing where you just know. And you know. And that part is part of your spirit. Many people have experienced different facets of this.
There have been many, many times when somebody will wake up maybe in the middle of the night and then they feel, I need to pray for this person, and they don't know what's going on with the person, but all of a sudden they feel, I need to pray for this person. They do that, and then after a while, and they feel like, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Then they fall back to sleep. Later on, they'll hear a story. Yes, there was something bad that was going on at that time. I needed help at that time. And it's just the spirit within them that is actually coming out and doing something.
It also acts out in the body. It's a knowing. The spirit also gives us the knowledge of what's right and wrong.
Our spirit tells us and lets us know what's right and wrong. Often you even see it in little children. They know what's right and wrong. They know they should be or shouldn't be doing something, often is the case. They do something and no one has to tell them that it was wrong. They kind of just know, and maybe they hide a little bit, or maybe they're embarrassed a little bit or something like that. They just know.
Because that's part of our spirits. We know what's right and wrong. It's hardwired into us by God Himself.
There is a moral code that's inside of us.
Now, often our culture has conditioned us so much
to take away that moral code that the Bible calls it our conscience is seared with a hot iron, which means that we lose the feeling in that spirit and we lose track of what's right and wrong. But that's a different matter.
So that's part of the spirit.
And one of the last things is a communion with God. The spirit is where we communicate with God.
Our spirit is where we communicate with God. There are several verses that I could give you
that confirm this. The Bible tells us that those who worship God, they must worship in spirit and in truth. It's because our spirit is what communicates with God.
Our spirit is that part of us, that special part of us that is reserved for communication with God.
Sometimes it comes out through our soul. Sometimes we get emotional. Sometimes there's overwhelming joy. That's part of the soul.
Sometimes there might be tears when we sense God in our spirit. It comes through. That spirit goes through the soul, manifests itself in the body. But the communication part of our being is the spirit. That's communication part with God. And the Bible tells us also that
our spirit, God's spirit, witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. Because that's how God communicates with us. Spirit to spirit. See, he says his spirit tells our spirits that we are children of God. His spirit tells our spirits that we are children of God.
We should have a confidence in us that we are children of God.
There should be no doubt, because our spirits have that knowing, right? Our spirits know. It's not an idle thought. It's not, I'm wondering, I'm not sure, maybe I am, maybe. No, it is a concrete knowing, I am a child of God, because it's in our spirits.
And the Bible says that if you are a child of God, you will know it.
You will know it. And if you don't know it, then you must examine your life. Because there's no other decision that's more important. You must know that you're a child of God. Your spirit will tell you. If your spirit is not telling you that you are 100% certain that you are,
you need to have that assurance. You need to have that confidence that you are a child of God. Now, the last words of Jesus says, he
is going to commit his spirit to God. Into
your hands. He's talking to God. Into your hands.
I'm committing my spirit, because it is the spirit which is going to be risen to life.
It is the spirit that's going to be risen to life. The Bible tells us that while we're in this body, we have a natural body.
But it also says that when we die, there is going to be a spiritual body. There is a natural body according to the Bible. There is a spiritual body according to the Bible.
The spirit is what communicates with God. Now most people, they make this mistake.
They make this mistake because they believe that doing good things will get them to God. Most people believe doing good things will get them to God.
And so they go about their life living good lives.
They go about living good lives. But the Bible clearly tells us that by the works of the flesh, by the works of the body, no man is justified. He's basically saying that you're looking at the wrong part. You're not by the works of the body. No one can be justified. See, we try and get to God through the body and through the soul. I have compassion as part of the soul. I have a desire to do this as part of the soul.
And so we act it out. You know, we give our time somewhere. We give our money somewhere.
We see it all the time. Famous people who might have no connection with God at all, yet they give a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy to a certain cause, and that's nice, and it helps their fellow man. But it doesn't do anything for their spiritual being. It doesn't help anything to get them closer to God, because it is the body and the soul that are acting, but not the spirit.
It is not the spiritual part of them. And so we see this all the time. We're going to turn to Colossians 13. No, Colossians 2 and verse 13. It's Colossians 2 and verse 13 that we're going to turn to, because this is the next part of it.
It says this, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." This is part of what Jesus has done on that cross. This is part of what Jesus has done on the cross, because he knew there was a problem. And this is a statement on part of the problem. It says, "And you being dead in your trespasses," that means sins. I know we don't like to talk about sins. We all have sins. No one's perfect. "Being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." He's basically saying the flesh, that body part of you, that soul part of you is dead. No, he's saying the spirit part of you is dead. We know that the body and the soul are not dead. We're alive. It's easy to tell. This just confirms that you are a three-part being, because something in you is dead. Without Christ, something in you is dead. It is the spirit part of your being that is dead. And it says that he can make that alive.
He can make that part alive.
But sin is the thing that keeps you
from being alive. This is part of our problem. Our spirits are dead. Without Christ, our spirits are dead. We often try through the body and the soul to get to God, but he's saying wrong part. Wrong part.
You're doing it the wrong way. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Not just being a good person on the outside. Your spirits are still dead because they're sinning. This is the problem of a large part of mankind. All of mankind is born this way.
And there is a solution. But often we focus on the wrong things.
We're focusing on the wrong parts. We focus and we try and make our bodies good. We try and make all of our thinking good. We try and make all of our actions good. All body and soul, the spirit is still there. We focus on the wrong things. When I was preparing for college, this is part of an analogous situation. When I was preparing for college, and there were some these mandatory tests, you know, the ACT, SAT, those kind of tests. And And so I was in a city school, and we didn't have a lot of the things that that the suburban schools had. So I was basically on my own to try and study and prepare for these tests. So I went to the library, got out a book, started looking through the books, you know, started taking practice exams, all that stuff. And it had multiple sections; it always does. And so I had been studying really hard for maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month, or something like that. I had gone through all the books that were in the library at the time. I had found a couple of books that were really old, and they looked like they were well-worn, and so I had gone through all of them. And so now it's just a couple of days before the test. And so I figured, okay, I got nothing left to study here. I'm going to go back to the library, see if there's anything more for me to pick up. I go to the library, and I find the book that's on the shelf, and it's new. And it's new. And so I get it out. I start looking through it, and I'm petrified because the new version of the book has sections that I had never seen. The old test, the old versions of the book, they had sections which were eliminated from the test. So I have been studying and putting all my effort into the wrong thing. And I'm 2 days away from the test, or 3 days away from the test, and I'm like, everything I studied for, everything I put my effort into, everything I put my time into, it doesn't matter. And so I got into college, thank God. But I was very much unprepared for what the test was. And this is what happened. They put all of their effort into the body and the soul in making them a little better. But they put almost no effort into making your spirit alive. Because you could put all of your time and all of your effort into making the body and soul better, but if your spirit is still dead, that is the thing that communicates with God.
That is the thing that communicates with God. You see, we don't have a goodness problem. We have a dead spirit problem. We might be really good people on the outside, but that's not the issue. The issue is your spirit is dead if you don't know Christ. That is the issue. That is the issue that Christ has came to change. We think, well, we're not so bad. We're not so bad. There's a second problem.
The second problem is that God can only communicate with something that is holy. Well, He communicates with whatever He wants. But if you want to draw close to God, you have to be holy. An example of this is in the Old Testament, they had this thing called the temple. The temple is where God dwelled. And now the Bible tells us that we are the temple. We are the temple of God. And in the Old Testament, we are given some clues about what the temple is. And everything in the temple, especially the parts that God Himself inhabited, they were cleansed until He declared them holy. Everything, there were three parts of the temple, very much like there's three parts of our body. There's an outer court in the temple, there was an inner court in the temple, there was a most holy place in the temple where almost no one went, one person went once a year, that's it. They're very similar to our body, which is that outer court, that inner court, which is that soul. That spirit part is that place where only God dwells. God met people in that most holy place. That's where our spirit is. It's analogous to that. We are three parts. And everything in that temple that God was going to touch was to be holy. He made them all holy. We might be good people. We might be good people on the outside. We might be good people to others. But that's not good enough. We need to be holy. You need to be holy. You need to be spotless. You need to be perfect. Because that's what God requires. So we don't just have a goodness problem, we have a lack of holiness problem, we have a dead spirit problem. That is the issue. And if you don't know that you know that you're a child of God, then maybe you're not. Then maybe you're not. Because that's what the Bible says you should have. You should have a rock solid confidence that you are a child of God.
Galatians 2:16 gives us a little glimpse into what God wants us to do about it, because this sounds like a bad problem.
God needs me to be holy? And how is my spirit going to be raised from the dead?
Those are two big problems. Nothing that I could do in myself. I can't change those two things. I can't be holy in myself. I can't
raise my spirit in from the dead. The spirit's that part. You can hardly sense it.
We have a big problem. We have a big problem. And it says this in Galatians 2:16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the answer. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's faith in Christ. The belief that He has come and died for us. He's the one who paid the price. Everything in the temple was cleansed with a sacrifice.
You see, in the Old Testament, sacrifices were being made all the time, and Jesus was the sacrifice. Him hanging on the cross is a picture of the sacrifice. It is a perfect sacrifice because He lived a perfect life.
And now, what He has done is He has substitutionally given us His life.
He says, I will live the perfect life for you, and you, by putting your faith in me, can be saved. We call it new birth.
You often hear the Christian term called born again. It's because we believe there is a new birth, and the new birth is in the Spirit. The Spirit is brand new. The Bible tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Old things have passed, all things have become new. Well, you can look at yourself in the mirror and you can say, if I accept Christ one day and then the next day comes, I'm not a new person. I look exactly the same. Sometimes the emotions are all the same because the emotions are in the soul. And you say, well, that part is still very much the same as it was yesterday. So what is all new? What is all new is you have been given a new heart. The Bible calls it a new heart. It's a new spirit. God has given you a new spirit when you come to Him by faith in Christ. This is the answer to our problems, because all things are new, and the Bible further tells us that because of Christ, you have been given the righteousness of God. It solves both of our issues. It solves both of our issues.
We were dead in trespasses and sin, and He made us alive together with Him.
He resurrects the spirit that is in us, and then He makes it holy. He resurrects our spirit, and then He makes it holy.
Both of our problems are solved by faith in Christ.
Not because we're so good. Not because we deserve it. We don't deserve any of it, but Christ did it because He loved us. It's not because of anything that we do. He solved our dead spirit problem by making us alive.
And He solved our holiness problem by making us righteous.
It is an absolutely amazing thing. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. It's not just us deciding in our minds that we're going to turn over a new leaf.
It is God touching us, giving us a new spirit,
one that is not dead, but one that is alive, and He makes us righteous. He even goes as far as saying that we have the righteousness of God in us. It doesn't take any examination, almost at all, to realize that our body and our souls do not have the righteousness of God.
We know we have wrong actions, wrong thoughts, wrong motives, wrong this, wrong that.
It's not in the body and the soul. But the Bible tells us that you've been given the righteousness of God. This is in your spirit. You have been made new. You can be made new through faith in Christ.
This is the point
of what Jesus did for us. This is why he went to the cross, so that he, by his blood, because remember, all things in the temple were purified with blood, and that made them holy, and Jesus spilled his blood so that we can be holy.
What a Savior. What a God. Most other religions have man fighting to get towards God.
Most other religions have man jumping through all kinds of hoops in their body and their souls to try and get to God. But our God,
Jesus, came, and he came to come to us.
He came and went after us. He came and said, I'm going to make the way for you.
I'm going to solve all the problems.
I know what the problems are. They're too big for you to handle, and I'm going to solve them all. That's what he did.
It is quite an amazing thing. Romans 8:11 tells us that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us.
The same thing, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, because he was resurrected.
Today we celebrate that fact that he was resurrected.
He died. And then he rose again. This is what happens to our spirits. And he tells us that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Why would we have resurrection power in us if we didn't need it? It is because we needed it. Our spirits were dead, and now they're alive. By faith in Christ.
Our spirits were dead, and now they're alive. We need resurrection power in us because we needed our spirits to be resurrected. The same way that Jesus rose from the dead, our spirits rise from the dead.
The same reason we celebrate on this day is the same reason that we can know that we know that we know that we know that we are children of God.
If you don't know that, if you don't have that confidence, I say make it
the priority of your life to know.
Make it the priority of your life to know that you're a child of God. Not because of all the good things you do, but because your spirit is raised from the dead. We'll look at one more place. It is John 11, 25 and 26.
See, God didn't lower his standard of holiness because we couldn't reach it. What he did was he raised your standard. He didn't lower his standard and say, well, I know that they can't be holy. I know that they can't be holy. I've seen them live. I know what's going on.
They can't be holy, so I need to lower the standard.
This is what happens in our lives a lot of times. We can't meet a certain thing, so it happens all the time. I worked in the corporate world,
and I see at the end of projects, we have all these criteria,
and then some project manager, I used to be a project manager, and I know how the thinking works, and they say, well, we can only have this many issues, and so then they start renaming issues, and they call them something else.
Right, and so that way we could pass the criteria.
Because you can only have a certain number of issues, and so now we'll rename this issue and we'll call it something else.
It's lowering the standard. And God says, I'm not going to lower the standard.
I'm just going to make you holy. I'm going to fulfill the standard in you. I'm going to give you what you need.
I know that you can't do it, but I'm going to give you what you need. And he says this.
This is Jesus with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom he also raised from the dead. This is what he says. He says, Jesus said to her, Mary, or Martha, I'm not sure which one.
At the I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You can't understand this verse unless you believe that we have a body and a soul and a spirit. You can't understand this verse unless you believe that you are a body and a soul and a spirit, because you look around and you say, yes, everybody dies. Everybody dies. I know that people die. I know my body is getting older. It's not like it used to be. We have friends and family who have died. We know, and it says, whoever believes in me shall never die.
But we know that people die in the body. We know that people die in the soul. But the spirit, once it's resurrected, it doesn't die. The spirit doesn't die. It is the spirit that has a problem. Without Christ, the spirit is dead. It is the spirit that has a problem. And then Jesus asks this question,
which is a pertinent question for all of us at one time in our lives or another. He says, do you believe this? Do you believe it? He's telling you, it is the truth, even though it might not be, it might not, your mind, the soulish part of you might be trying to wrap itself around that. Can't get it. He says, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe that I've done this for you? Do you believe that your spirit can be raised again to life? Do you believe that even as Jesus was resurrected, that your spirit can be resurrected, you have resurrection power in you? Do you believe? It's the question that we all must wrestle with. And some people choose to ignore it. And some people choose to say no. And some people choose to say all kinds of different questions. We all answer one way or another is, do you believe this? Worship team, why don't you come on up? The question is, will you choose to believe? There's still the soulish part of you, the thinking part of you, which is going to make the decision. The free will part of you that is going to make the decision. Will you believe this? The wonderful, miraculous change that God can do in your spirit. Do you believe that it could happen? Do you believe that God wants to do this? It is a simple process of saying, God, I am a sinner. I am dead in my trespasses. I need you to raise me to life. I will live my life for you. That is as simple as it is. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. If you have accepted Christ, this is what's happened to you. Your spirit has been raised from the dead.
Your spirit has been raised from the dead, and you should know it.
And you should be confident in it. You should be confident in it because God is giving you the righteousness that He had. You should be very confident in it.
If you're not confident in it, I would say make a decision.
Make a decision to commit your life to Christ.
Make a decision to give your life to Christ.
To put your faith in Christ. Become a person of faith. Realizing that you cannot do this by yourself, but that Christ has done it all for you. This is what
this day is about. It is about a raising of a spirit to life.
It is about raising Christ. Christ shows us that He can raise your spirit from the dead because He rose Himself from the dead.
A miraculous thing that He has done.